Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. This is our continuation of Christ's Clutter in the Calendar, and we believe this will be airing on July the 2nd, which will be Tuesday, July the 2nd.
Which is a big day you need to give a shout out for, right?
It's a big day. This is Linda's, my wife's, Linda's birthday.
Happy birthday,
July,
Linda.
July the 2nd. She's a 4th of July birthday, and she's a firecracker.
Yes, she is.
So we actually, when we've taped this early, but during the actual days, we will be at the Biltmore in North Carolina. It was requested by our grandsons to go, and they're both going to wind up going to college at Baylor, and we wanted to have a family gathering there, which is a good thing for us.
That's a favorite family spot of y'all, right?
Yeah. So we'll celebrate my birthday, our anniversary, 54 years this year. And,
wow.
And then, Linda's birthday, and, we'll just have a good old fun time. And,
that's fantastic.
So happy birthday today to Linda. So, excited about that.
We love you, Linda.
Yep. We do. So we've been talking about Christ's Clutter in the Calendar, and yesterday we talked about the no, being able to keep the sweetness of life that God puts us into, and that actually that is His desire, His plan, His purpose, and to if we embrace it, it really changes everything because there's no pressure now about doing more,
right?
But rather doing God's things. And there will be assignments. And remember, assignments are around the things of how He wants us to engage with other people. So it could be particularly as, let's say, couples are learning this and they haven't spent a lot of time together, let's say. God will say to them, I want you to prioritize that in your calendar. And now over the next year, start to learn to process better, to enjoy each other more, go on dates more, take little vacations more. Do things that build your strength as a marriage. And He said, my assignment for you is that.
Right.
And that's good. And then as it gets into sync, it'll free up some time later to do other things. But the assignments from God are for us to fulfill His purposes, which is to live the covenant life, to be blessed, to be a blessing, to have peace, to have joy, not to be burdened. All of these things are part of His life for us to keep recognizing that. And stay there, basically.
It's as you say that, even I'm reminded of like a good foundation.
Yes.
Right. And I do think sometimes we get caught in the idea of racing ahead and not realizing we need to invest time in the foundation.
Right.
And God's pace often is to slow us down and pay attention. I want you focusing on your family right now. I want you focusing on your heart in this right now, whatever that is. But right. His tendency often is to slow us down and build the foundation.
That's right.
And so paying attention to that's important.
Yeah, it really is. And it's very significant, you know, to keep processing that. We're going to move into the second piece of this. We've talked a lot about calendar, which is critical. And the other piece that burdens us is our thought life.
Absolutely.
Are the things that even if we have a calendar that is pretty good, we can be occupied while we're doing those things. So if my thought life is burdened, yeah, I could be spending time with Linda, but I'm really not.
Yeah. Well, and I would go as far as to say often when we then, part of the reason we fill our calendar as much as we can is to distract us from the burdens of our thought life. That could be a whole other podcast, but I think that that is a reality. And so as we've cleared the calendar, we are going to come face to face with some of the things that are filling our thought life because we suddenly have more margin to actually see them.
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes we do actually keep busyness so we never have to deal with them.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. And
exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the first thing we'll talk about is conflict. And what do we do with that conflict with others? And by the way, that could be between a husband and a wife, even, and it could pop up as you've been processing calendar.
Mm, true.
Is that, you know, your husband or your wife wants to do certain things, or they don't want to give things up, or I'm going to keep working more work than I should. Well, that causes conflict and opposition. And because of, you know, that we're living in a world of self-centered people, you know, we're going to have conflict all the time.
Right.
With people that we have to engage with business, with servers, with all kinds of things that we would like that disappoint us or hurt us, and particularly family members. So the first aspect of it is to be released from the burden of that by going to forgiveness, so that we then can get resolution with God on the conflict. So the first thing is to understand that as we have conflict, which is going to happen, and it's always going to happen, we first have to get freedom in our thought life by having God give us forgiveness between him and me and my heart, so that I'm free of the burden of it. And then, we'll talk about reconciliation, which will be a process as well. But without forgiveness, we can't get to real reconciliation because we make it all manipulated. And I want people to do things to please me, and if they don't, I'm mad at them, and I'm upset with them, and I'm in conflict with them, and it's a burden. God says, "Well, I want to release the burden." So let's go to Psalm 130, and this is about forgiveness.
Sure. It says, "Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities."
Yep. So he basically says that if he held iniquity as he should, basically we'd have no shot because the requirement is perfection. We all have iniquity against him. And if he required us to fix the problem in order to forgive us, see, we would be in an impossible situation because the requirement is perfection. We can't get there. So we would be in constant enmity against God. And so he says that, yeah, you deserve my wrath because I'm holy, but I provided redemption. I provided forgiveness by going to the cross. And I went to the cross on my own nature. And what did I do? I forgave everybody.
Right.
On my act alone. And so I freed up the requirement that you had to be perfect so that you now had an opportunity to reconcile. And we'll talk more about that. But just hold this thought of, we deserved his wrath. He said, if I held that against you, you wouldn't have any opportunity to reconcile with me. But because of my forgiveness, my act of redemption, what I did at the cross, I freed you up. Okay, let's go to Psalm 103, 1 to 15, and tell us a little bit more about this.
Sure. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Before we even go on, I'm just going to comment. If you're ever feeling discouraged or just need to be reminded who God is, those top five verses right there are a beautiful picture of his faithfulness. Hmm. So hang on to that. Put it on a postcard in your bathroom, wherever you would see it all the time.
Yeah, by the way, he says, don't forget it.
Yes, yes. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant.
Right.
And to those.
Yep, that's good.
Keep going.
No, it's good.
Oh, sorry.
Yep. So.
I was just loving that passage.
Yeah. So. You know, he says that, again, if I held things against you, which I deserve to do because you have opposed me, you haven't followed my holiness, iniquity, you deserve my wrath. But because of his love for us and what he did through forgiveness, mm-hmm. is I've gone to the cross, and I put you in a position where the things that you do can be basically eliminated as far as the east is from the west. Mm. And really what I care about is for you to have relationship with me in a free, right. in a free way, you know, based upon the truth. So he said, I went to the cross, I forgave you. It's on my nature. And I don't continue to remember them. Because mm-hmm. life is, and we'll talk about this in a second, life is now forward. But you're going to have to, you know, come with me and be reconciled. Okay, go to Colossians 2, 11 to 15. He actually tells us exactly what he did at the cross.
Colossians 2, 11 to 15. Oh, about that. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it.
Yep. So he said at the cross, there were four things that were fulfilled. He said all of the sin, all the sins were forgiven, all the trespasses were forgiven at the cross. Did he forgive everybody at the cross?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, he said it's once and for all. Hebrews talks about that it's finished, completed, did it once and for all, and all people have been forgiven. Mm-hmm. And that's an act of God. He did it on his own, and he redeemed everybody through redemption. And said, I forgive you, with the opportunity now to be to be reconciled. Okay, mm-hmm. The second thing he said is, I took away the requirement.
Right.
Through the forgiveness. Okay, now think about this. What was the requirement?
Perfection.
Perfection. God is holy. You had to be perfect to be able to have relationship with him. And because of our sin nature through Adam and Eve, we're self-centered. And by definition, even if we're good, what we would consider to be good people, you fall short of the requirement.
Right.
And nobody is, and you know, Romans says nobody can get there. No, not one. And we all kind of know that. So what did he do? I took away the requirement to be perfect. So did he forgive everybody?
Yes.
I took away the requirement. Is everybody reconciled with him?
No.
How come?
Because they're not choosing to step into that.
Yeah. Yeah. See, the freedom of the thought life starts with joining him in that place of forgiveness without any thought at the moment of reconciliation. So in other words, we'll see that reconciliation can go in lots of different directions. Yes, it can be reconciled. No, not at all. Kinda, partially. But God didn't alter the truth in order, to be reconciled. He forgave everybody, but he hasn't reconciled with everybody because it takes two parties to reconcile.
Right.
And what he did is he said, I took away the requirement to be perfect so that I could give you an opportunity to process the truth, which is to receive what I did. And the new requirement, if you're going to be reconciled, is to receive what I did.
Right.
If you don't, then you will not be reconciled with me. I've forgiven you. I've cleared the deck for you. But unless you embrace that, unless you go to the truth of that, you will not be reconciled. And God said, I'll allow you to be living eternally separated from me because I can't alter the truth. So he says, don't confuse forgiveness with reconciliation. I'll resolve every relationship so that you'll know where it lands. But it always starts with your own heart that don't let this conflict, don't let this problem, don't let this situation bother you.
Right.
And what you do is you step into the same place that God did, is I forgave them. So they deserve wrath, but they aren't going to receive it now from me per se. They will receive wrath if they don't embrace the reconciliation, but not because of the requirement, because I took away the requirement. So so basically what you're doing is I'm removing the requirement that somebody has to do something to please me. And if I take that away, I then move to the second place where he is, which is I give them opportunity to process the truth with me, but it's going to be a choice that they're going to have to make.
Right.
If they do, we can be reconciled. If they don't, I can live without being reconciled. Because why? I took away any requirement for them to do anything, but I'm offering them an opportunity to be reconciled, which would be my preference and would be God's preference. And I disarm principalities and powers and triumph over them so that you don't need to have worry about that the enemy who's using self-centered people to attack you and to cause division to dominate you. He said, they don't, if you're living with me, he doesn't have any power over you. The only reason he would have power over you is if you stay in unforgiveness. And you go to a place where you're now burdened by that, and you're trying to manipulate and manage it all. And that person has to, and I'm mad at it because they don't, and they deserve my wrath, and I stay angry. And God says, well, your burden, now your thought life is consumed by this. And I'm asking you to go to forgiveness.
And let me just, on a comical note, bring forward one of those indicators. You're talking about your thought life being burdened by, you know, you've got these sort of things going on when you're sitting in the shower and you hear a real replaying of a conversation you had and all of the different dialogues of how you could have responded were there. There's some unforgiveness you're dealing with.
Yeah.
there are different things that I think we all recognize. We just need to pay attention to what those indicators are.
Yeah. And
really that cluttering of the thought life, when we are replaying interactions and things in our head over and over and changing our responses or changing their responses and all of those kind of things, that is 100% an easy indicator that there's a reason for us to go. And daily there are things that happen that we have to go to forgiveness with, right?
Correct. And it's, I'm rehearsing it. I think about that person. I'm trying to figure out how I can either have that person have their own difficulty, or how do I avoid that person?
Right.
I don't want to be in the presence of that, or I'm going to have to see them.
Or how do I bring justice to them?
Yeah, that's right. Or they should have justice. Or I'm going to have to see them, or I have the thought of them or a conversation come up, and it irritates me. And mm-hmm. I get angry about it, and it gets me all riled up again. And I remember again all the things that they're doing to hurt me, which is, you're saying, rehearsing. Those are indicators you don't have forgiveness yet, because mm-hmm. forgiveness is to give us freedom.
Yes.
I know there has to be reconciliation process still. That's okay. But I can have freedom so it doesn't bother me anymore. Mm-hmm. And the next question will be, okay, what do you want me to do toward reconciliation, and how do we do it without, and I can't alter the truth. Okay, then one thing he says to us to help us understand it is Romans 8, 1 and 2. What does he say? If you're living in this position, here's what it's going to look like.
It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Yeah. Hey, there's Aiden. Hey, we're going to do our thing, and I'll set you up downstairs in just a few minutes.
Yeah, great.
Yep.
No problem.
Yep.
It's good to see you. I hope you're doing well.
Aiden's going to be our guest, so we're getting ready. So we'll see you in a minute. If you're living in Christ, you don't have a heart of condemnation. Because it's all about, even if they don't reconcile, I don't have to worry about condemnation of them. Mm-hmm. And if I'm living in Christ, it's, first of all, he says, I want you to live in freedom, and I want you to enjoy life with me, and let's go into the good stuff. Spend your energy on the good stuff. Freedom comes from having this life of forgiveness, because I'm not focused on judgment. I'm not focused on mm-hmm. condemnation. Now, I do have yet to be reconciled.
Right.
True. And I don't accept what they're doing as the way to reconcile. We'll talk about that. So this is just about freeing up your thought life to be able to say, I've got a bunch of conflicts here. I've got a bunch of anger. I got to start processing it. So what I recommend people do is, if you have anger toward people, which is okay, it says be angry and do not sin, list them down, mm-hmm. write out what they did. They deserve your anger. And then you process forgiveness is, do I have forgiveness toward that person? Now, remember, mm-hmm. separate from reconciliation, I'm not even asking, are you reconciled yet?
Yeah.
Just, do you have forgiveness? And what I usually do is say, sort them into three buckets. Hmm. Number one is, are you holding a resentment about people in your past that you can't even get to right now?
Right.
Then God says, you just got to let this go. You got to forgive them. You're not going to reconcile with them. Just, you got to go to, Philippians 3, let go of the things of past and press on to the high calling of Christ Jesus. Just let this go. Mm-hmm. Get it off your plate. Don't even think about it anymore, because you can't do anything about it.
Right.
And do they deserve your wrath? Yeah. Don't worry. They're still going to suffer the consequences, but you let them go. So bucket one is if they're of your past and you can't get to them, or they're not part of your life anymore, then let it go. Number two, are people that are of family members,
mm-hmm.
that is going to be a little bit trickier.
Right.
Because you can live unreconciled with people that you don't have to spend time with. But if you got to spend time with them, then it's
a whole lot harder.
A whole different story. So you put them in a different bucket, and he says, now go to forgiveness, and I'll show you what to do with them separately. The third mm-hmm. bucket is people that are around you in your life, but you're not required to spend a lot of time with them. And so look at a question that God would ask you to have is, am I supposed to do something mm-hmm. to at least invite people to reconciliation?
Right.
Or do I need to let them go as well? Because mm-hmm. they've already decided they don't want to do anything. So if you look at the outcomes of, first of all, go to forgiveness of everybody and get freedom. And it's okay what they did, but you got to go to the same place I did, Jesus speaking, I've already forgiven them. And then two, if they're already somebody you can't get to and aren't part of your life, God says, let's resolve that now. Let's just let it go.
Mm.
Now we have people that either are in your life that you got to deal with and see how you can reconcile, or people that are family that you're going to be around all the time, and you can't
right.
you can't just say I'm never going to be around them.
right.
And we're going to get to that about the process of reconciliation, because if we go to forgiveness, and then we know that God's going to resolve the relationship
mm-hmm.
for us, we can live in freedom, and it needn't burden us.
Right.
And this is
right.
why it's such a big deal, because conflict and people burden us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, I got to free you from that. And by the way, you got to learn it, because why? It's going to happen to you the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you really got to learn it. So it's a big deal. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you said that you've forgiven all of us and everything about us. You've taken away the requirement to be perfect. You've disarmed principalities and powers. You've triumphed over them, and you're asking us to step in your same place, mm-hmm. that toward all those that deserve our anger, deserve our wrath, and we have conflict with, that we first would learn what it means to release the burden of them having to do anything, but rather our heart can be free between you and me, because I have forgiveness, because you gave me forgiveness on the same basis I was given, your nature. And we just pray that we'll understand that, we'll practice it, and we'll get freedom from that as we then learn how do you resolve this for us. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. Great conversation. Looking forward to continuing it. If you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.